First of all, I want to remind you that we have book club on Wednesday this week at 2 o'clock, and again at 7 o'clock. We also have these books available to you, one for a family, called Beautiful Eucharist, Great Reflections on the Most Blessed Sacrament, and really helpful to you, so we suggest that you take one home and read it and make use of it. There was a fellow went to Lowe's or what's the other one? Home Depot, that's it. And he bought a really expensive table saw. And he said, "Now, I want you to deliver this on May 5th. It has to be delivered on May 5th. Phil says, "Why does it have to be delivered on that day?" He said, "Well, it's a surprise for my wife on our anniversary. She's expecting a fur coat." Not all surprises are good, but what we celebrate today is good news. It's the surprising mercy of God. In the first reading, the prophet Malachi speaks of the coming of the Lord unexpected. It's the one that we seek. And the day of judgment that is coming is a day of purification, making possible for us to offer due sacrifice to God, to love God as God wants us to love him. The author of Hebrews reminds us of who Jesus is. He's a true man. Jesus shares blood and flesh. And he also talks of his mission to free us from the fear of death by dying and rising. And he wants us to know how he, having been tested, can help us who are being tested even today. We finally come to the gospel, a story we've heard many times. Luke talks about the purification. We used to call this feast the Feast of the Purification, not the Presentation. Because according to Jewish law, a mother would have to go to the temple 40 days after the birth of her child to be purified by offering a sacrifice. We, of course, know that Mary needed no purification. She was without sin. But also at the same time, the firstborn son was to be presented and a sacrifice offered to redeem him. The fact that it was a mention of two turtle doves or two young pigeons reminds us that Mary and Joseph were not wealthy. It also shows us that Mary and Joseph were faithful to the law. They were faithful because they knew God who gave them the law. And they knew that living that law would be for their good and for the good of the child. But things didn't go quite as expected. Simeon comes to the temple and intercepts them. The Holy Spirit has promised Simeon that he wouldn't die before seeing the Messiah, the Christ. And the Spirit reveals to him now that this child is, in fact, Christ, the Messiah. And he sings praises to God for his mercy, his surprising mercy, and the light that this child will bring, both for Jew and Gentile. Then he speaks prophetic words about Jesus, that Jesus is the cause of rise and fall of people in Israel, is a sign that will be contradicted. And we know that Jesus was contradicted. There would be people who believed in him. There would also be people who refused to believe in him, who hardened their hearts. But their opposition to Jesus wasn't the last word. Because though Jesus was killed on the cross, he was raised up. Simeon also speaks of Mary and says that a sword will pierce your heart so the thoughts of many may be revealed. That's part of Mary's mission, to accept the sorrows of sharing the life of her son and the persecution and death of her son, and to open her heart that we might know the Lord ourselves. Then we see Anna. This is really surprising too. There are no female prophets, but this is a prophet. This woman, Anna, is a prophetess. And she comes to see what's going on. And she knows what's going on. And she proclaims what she has seen. She proclaims the light, that even though this child is an infant, this child, when he comes to life, to the fullness of his life, is the Messiah. And she proclaims that to all who will listen to her. The time is drawing near. Not a matter of centuries, as it's been waiting for the people from the time of the Exodus, but it's coming very near. And the time is here. Jesus is our light, and we must bear witness to that light. We must bring the light to a world that is so much in darkness. We are to ask the Lord for the grace to bear witness to that light, to live in the fullness of eternal life here and now, God's grace, that when we are called at the end of our lives, we may have the fullness of eternal life forever.